Are you one of those families that have taken the time to trace your ancestry? Or have you bought a family crest plaque to hang over your mantle or hang somewhere on your wall? I remember as a boy that my mother would tell me that she was told that they had traced our family tree on her side back to the King of England. I guess that would make me Billy the Duke. I don't know. I never put much stock in what she told me. Because what difference does it make anyway who stock you came out of or what was your past inheritance family? I suppose no one has been given more titles than Jesus Christ. The most popular are Messiah and Savior and Shepherd and Master and Teacher and Son of God and Redeemer. There are other titles, far more than I could name this morning because of time. Most common being Lily of the Valley and the Rose of Sharon and the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Bright and Morning Star, and the Prince of Peace. And all those names or titles that I just mentioned, I left out one that is probably the most common outside of Jesus Christ, and I did it for a reason. It's probably used as a name, whereas it is really a title. And we use it as a name because we like it better that way, and we don't like it used as a title. When we use this as a title, it makes us uncomfortable, it causes us problems, it makes us squirm, and we just don't like it. Is there any name you can think of that God is called or God the Son is called that you don't really like? Chances are you can't think of one. Now, in Acts chapter 2:21, I'll give you that title, which most of us consider a name. It's not a name, it's a title. Acts 2:21, and then we'll go to Acts 16:31. As soon as I read it, you'll know what we're talking about. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. You see, well, preacher says name there. That's right. But it's also a title. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we have all three. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thou house. If you ever talk to anybody about becoming a Christian, you'll talk about Jesus Christ becoming their Savior. If they are to refuse to become a Christian, it will be because you finally introduced Jesus Christ to be their Lord. We find no problem with being saved, being forgiven, and going to heaven when we die and escaping hell. We have no problem with that. Sounds good. Fantastic offer. But when you talk about me bending and bowing my knee and giving up my freedom and making Him the Lord of my life and letting Him dictate and give me commandments and tell me what I can and cannot do, I don't like that. And so when you mention the name Jesus Christ, it sounds all right to me. When you mention the name of Lord, then that kind of goes against my grain. I don't like the idea of bending and bowing and giving up my freedom to anybody, even to gain salvation. Now, a person's not saved by just calling Jesus Christ Lord. That's one thing I want to get across to you this morning. You just don't go around calling Him Lord, and that guarantees you salvation. You don't go around just speaking the name Lord. We this morning sang several songs in which we mentioned the word Lord. Just singing the word Lord, singing the title Lord, is not the same thing as making Him Lord. There's a big difference between the two. To sing His name does not mean I place myself under His rule and under His control. For you see, if I really understand this term correctly, then it means that I must surrender all my rights. That's what Lord means. If I am the Lord, then you must surrender all of your rights. And you must obey my every command. Do you want me to be Lord? You say, no. Well, then don't call me that then. Don't say what I'm not. And I will not be your Lord. But I won't be your Savior either. You see, we have the idea that we can make Him Savior and it's an option to make Him Lord. I don't believe. I never have believed that. If you don't want Him as Lord, you can't have Him as Savior. And so there's where I find so many people that you talk to about becoming Christians. You get this side of the story in there and they say, well, now I have to think about that. I'm not real sure I want to do that. I'm not sure I want that kind of control placed over my life. Then you don't want Him as Lord. He won't be Lord. You're not going to make Him Lord. Then don't call Him that. Because He's not that for you. Now, when if you went down this morning and signed up to join the military, that's a good illustration, I think, of placing yourself under somebody else's control, and you're giving up your rights. You'll get up when they tell you to get up, and you'll do what they tell you to do as long as they tell you to do it. And in a real sense, they become the position illustration of a person who is the Lord. They act like they are the Lord as long as you're in the military service. Now, we prefer to use the name Jesus and the name Christ when we talk about Him. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I love Jesus. We don't normally introduce into our conversation the word Lord. Now, you probably tell a lot of people, Jesus Christ is my Savior. How many times do you catch yourself saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord? We shy away from that. Because it kind of stirs up our conscience and kind of bothers us. Now, for a lot of people, the name Jesus has no special meaning. It's just a name. Even the name Christ to us has no special meaning. It's just a name. Billy. What's the meaning of Billy? I don't know. Brunson. What's the meaning of Brunson? I don't know. And I don't really care. You know? What's the meaning of Jesus? I don't know. What's the meaning of Christ? Most Christians, I don't know. How about Lord? What's the meaning of Lord? I don't know. Just a big almighty being, I guess. That's a God. That's just a good name for God. We talk about the man upstairs. We don't talk about the man in charge. Strange, isn't it? The way we talk and the way we think. We'll address Him as Lord, but we'll not look at Him as our equal. Or we'll look at Him as our equal and not above us. But we'll call Him Lord, but He's our equal. In a real sense, He's not even that. We are superior to Him. If anybody will be Lord of our life, it'll be us. Not Him. Well, then don't call Him Lord. He can guide me, but He can't rule me. Well, then don't call Him Lord. Because that's the purpose of His being Lord. He's going to rule us. The Bible says Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And when you put it that way, it means that I must bend my knee. Not once in a while, but I must bend my knee in submission to His orders every time. Because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus is very sensitive about this whole area and this whole issue. And that brings up the eighth question now that he asked in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. We'll just read the question and not even read it in context. You can do that at a later time if you'd like to. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? We've all heard the expression, talk is cheap. All it costs is, I guess, a little breath and a movement of some mouth muscles. And Jesus here is criticizing the reckless use of the name or term or title of Lord when we address Him or speak of our relationship to Him. If I don't intend to walk my talk, then I disqualify myself from really saying Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I have no right to address Him Lord in prayer, when really and truly He says, I'm not your Lord. You won't let me be the Lord. Why do you keep saying Lord? I want to be the Lord, but you won't let me. So you have no right to use that term. That term condemns you when you use it. Because you'll get up from your knees and go right on doing what you know I have commanded you not do, or not do what I have commanded you to do. And so Christ is here asking the question, why do you call me Lord? You're not being honest, you're not being sincere, and you have no intention of letting me be the Lord of your life. You're not using the right term. Whenever you say the word Lord sincerely, you, in a sense, say, here I am, Lord, command me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, what do you want? Now that is implied when you and I use the word Lord. I obligate myself to be obedient any time I use that term, Lord. Because the implication is, I'm the servant, He's the commander. Give me a command to serve. In this term, you don't go to visit the Lord. You can go visit the Father, you can go visit Jesus, you can go visit Christ. But when you talk about the Lord, you go get commands from the Lord. He is a headquarters of orders. He is the commander-in-chief under that term. There are a lot of doors I can enter. Counselor. Good morning, Jesus. I need some counseling. Fine. Oh, one of those doors is Lord. Man, don't go in that door unless you want to be told what to do. Orders from headquarters comes from inside the Lord door. Well, I'll just skip that door. I'll go to counselor door and blessing door. I'll just skip the Lord door. Strange thing the Lord says. I'll tell you what. You come through the counselor door, but why don't you go down the hall first and check in at the Lord door and then come back. Get your appointment down there at the Lord door. There seems to be a little problem going on between me and you. And it needs to be settled down there at the Lord door. Go in there and ask, what is it that you are upset with me about, Lord? Now you use the term right. We say, Lord, forgive me. The Lord says, hey, wait a minute. Tell me you want to obey my commandment. You're going to obey my commandment. You're sorry you disobeyed my commandment. You plan to do my commandment when you get up from here, and I forgive you. Tell me that. When you say, Lord, forgive me. Because what you're implying is, I did not obey, but now I will. I made a mistake. Now I won't. At least I'll try not to. I think Christ is saying here, when people say to him, Lord, he says, do you really mean it? Do you really mean I am the Lord? Are you being honest with me? And when I command you as a test, will you obey me? Is that what you mean when you call me Lord? You know, women today would not dare up go to their husband and say, today I'm going to declare you the Lord and Master of this house. Ooh. She said, I wouldn't do that. Boy, he might tell me, to do mow the yard. You know, I'm not going to wash the dishes or clean up the house, and I don't want to do that today. So I'm not going to go tell my husband, today, honey, is Lord and Master Day for you. No way will I do that. There's skin that turns. And women today saw it taken out of the wedding service. Taking that word almost out of the window. Obey. No way. Obey means let the husband be the Lord. I don't think he ought to be, but I'm just saying, we're real touchy on this. We're real touchy on this matter of who is going to be Lord. That means you put them in control. Man, as Lord, what comes out of his mouth will not be blessings. Now, as Christ and as Jesus and as Savior and all these Prince of Peace, out of his mouth can come blessings. Out of his mouth can come all kinds of comfort, words of comfort, and can come joy unspeakable, and can come, the things you want to hear, words of guidance. But when the mouth of the Lord speaks, all that comes out of it will be commandments. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Is it any wonder that we don't prefer to honestly address him as Lord? You speak to God as Lord, and what he's going to say to you in return will be a commandment. For that is the role and purpose of lordship, to rule his kingdom according to his will and his commandments and his laws. And so I go to Christ for certain things, I go to Jesus for certain things, and I use those terms. But if I use the word term, Lord, you might as well expect him to say to you, here is what I want you to do. Now, here are your work orders. Here are your morality orders. Here's what I want you to do. So when I call him Lord, I invite him to command me to do something, which I have, if he's Lord, obligation to obey. Excuses don't work with a Lord. See, just it doesn't work. Whatever he commands me to do, I can do. I need his help, but he'll be glad to give that to me. He's already given that to us in the Holy Spirit living in us. But he will never ask me to do what is absolutely impossible for me to do. All right? Now, God has a kingdom to run. The Lord is the king. One of the functions of a king is to keep his kingdom in order. To see that his kingdom rules are carried out. That's one of the functions of a king besides to bless his subjects and provide for his subjects. He is also obligated to rule his subjects wisely. Now, if I say the name Lord and I don't mean it, then I mock him in a real sense as being a ruler. For I don't see him to really be that. I may call him Lord, but I wear the crown. And that sort of makes him just a figurehead. Kind of like the King of England doesn't really have, or they don't have a king now, a queen, I guess. Has no real power. Just a figurehead. Somebody else in England really wears the crown. The real authority is in the hands of somebody else in the country. Jesus doesn't want that kind of kingdom where the authority rests with the people and he's just sort of a figurehead. A person that you look at and you talk to. In a sense, I may call him Lord, but I'm the Lord of my life. And I will dictate what I will do and what I will not do. And so in a real sense, a lot of us have a more rightful claim to the word Lord than he does. If I obey my own will and my own commands, then I am really saying I'm the Lord. And I'm telling him, keep his hands off me. And I will do what I want to do. Well, in that situation, I have then declared myself to be the Lord. Now I am a competitor. I am a rival. And when I call him Lord, it's a joke. I may say, you got the title, but I have the power. I'm in control, not you. And so in a sense, you can see why Jesus is here rather, I guess you might say, offended. Maybe even irritated that people do this. He's saying, don't tinker with my title. I am the Lord, and that needs to be straightened out. Don't try to make my title meaningless and empty. I am the Lord, and I want to be the Lord. If you're going to call me that, then act like somebody that's under my control. If he is dead serious about ruling, then I ought to be dead serious about obeying. I think the title Lord is a joyous title. Probably it brings him more joy than most anything else that he does. We don't get the concept that he likes to rule. I think he does. Maybe some of you who have power and position understand some of the joy that comes from making decisions over the lives of so many people and so many events. I think Jesus gets real pleasure out of ruling. I really do. King of kings and Lord of lords, that's his function. That's the role that he plays. And God gets benefits out of the roles that he plays. He gets pleasure out of these things. It's a term that elevates Jesus to the level of a God. What is a God? A God is sovereign. A God is one who is in absolute rule and authority. A God is one who has the last say on everything. That's a God. And so by Jesus being made the Lord, we elevate him in our eyes to the level of a God. And that's what he is. That's what he is. We treat him as God by obeying his commands. That's the way we, in a sense, prove that in our eyesight, he really is the Lord. Because it boils down to, will I obey you? Or will I obey me? See, one of us is going to lose and one of us is going to win. And whoever is the winner can be declared the Lord in that instance. We like to believe in the Lord, but we don't like to treat Him as the Lord. When we call Him our Savior, we focus on the sacrifice He made for us. When we call Him Lord, we focus on the sacrifice we have to make for Him. Big difference. No wonder we like to say, Jesus is my Savior. Because that involves His sacrifice. If I say Jesus is my Lord, that will involve my sacrifice. I'd rather Him make the sacrifice and me make none. I'll call Him Savior, but not call Him Lord. It doesn't work that way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He made the sacrifice to save me. Now He says, you make the sacrifice to obey me. Why should you get off easier than me? And your obedience is not nearly as bad as my death on the cross. Obedience may be painful to our lusts and our desires and our selfishness, but it's not like dying on a cross. The question is not, do you believe Jesus is the Lord? The question is Jesus your Lord? Different question. The question is not, do I believe in God? The question is, do you believe God? That's the question. Totally different question altogether. Jesus says, I am the Lord, and I'm going to act like the Lord. I'll put you on notice. I am going to act like the Lord. I am going to give you orders. I am going to lay out ultimatums. I am going to give you commandments. I'm going to demand obedience. I'm going to act like the Lord. I want you to understand that. I'm not just going to call myself that. I'm going to play the role. I am going to be the boss. And I think we need to understand that. If I am Lord, I have that right to tell you what you can and cannot do. And you agreed to that when you got saved. And we did. Because you were asked, hopefully, when you became a Christian, will you accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior? He said, now I did my part. I kept my end of the bargain. I saved you. Now you keep your part. You keep your end of the bargain. You let me be Lord. I don't want to be a part-time Lord. In other words, you can give orders for 30 minutes. And then I'll give orders for the rest of the day. No, I don't want to be a part-time Lord. I want to be a full-time Lord. I want to be consulted on all things. I want my commands to be obeyed at all times. Not part-time. All the times. Matthew 7:21, and we'll close. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to change the verse on you now. And I'm telling you before I change it. Because I think it needs to be changed. To help you understand this. Go again. Now everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does try. That's not in there. He that does try to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect and obey every commandment because there will be times when we fail. But when a command is, if I tell my kid to carry out the garbage, and on the way out, he falls down and dumps it all over the ground, I can't say he disobeyed me. But at the same time, I can't say he succeeded either. But I can tell him to pick it up. Now, he can try that too, but he might miss a few scraps. But I can't say he disobeyed me. And that's what the issue is. Jesus is saying here, if you call me Lord and I give you command, at least try. At least try. And that's all the command is, try. Because that shows that you have made him the Lord and that you are obeying your heart and you have not matured enough, you have stumbled, but you're trying. But you're trying. And the front of the bulletin, I think, has a pretty good motto on it. Success, even spiritual success, is something you start out doing pretty poorly. But as time goes on, you get better at it. But everything you do when you start out doing poorly. But you get better. And so I think if Jesus is my Lord, I may do it poorly, but I've done it. And that makes him Lord. And that's what's important. Are you one of those families that have taken the time to trace your ancestry? Or have you bought a family crest plaque to hang over your mantle or hang somewhere on your wall? I remember as a boy that my mother would tell me that she was told that they had traced our family tree on her side back to the King of England. I guess that would make me Billy the Duke. I don't know. I never put much stock in what she told me. And because what difference does it make anyway who stock you came out of or what was your past inheritance family? I suppose no one has been given more titles than Jesus Christ. The most popular are Messiah, and Savior, and Shepherd, and Master, and Teacher, and Son of God, and Redeemer. There are other titles, far more than I could name this morning because of time. Most common being Lily of the Valley, and the Rose of Sharon, and the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Bright and Morning Star, and the Prince of Peace. And all those names or titles that I just mentioned, I left out one that is probably the most common outside of Jesus Christ, and I did it for a reason. It's probably used as a name, whereas it is really a title. And we use it as a name because we like it better that way, and we don't like it used as a title. When we use this as a title, it makes us uncomfortable, it causes us problems, it makes us squirm, and we just don't like it. Is there any name you can think of that God is called or God the Son is called that you don't really like? Chances are you can't think of one. Now, in Acts chapter 2:21, I'll give you that title, which most of us consider a name. It's not a name, it's the title. Acts 2:21. And then we'll go to Acts 16:31. As soon as I read it, you'll know what we're talking about. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. You see, well, preacher says name there. That's right. But it's also a title. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we have all three. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thou house. If you ever talk to anybody about becoming a Christian, you'll talk about Jesus Christ becoming their Savior. If they are to refuse to become a Christian, it will be because you finally introduced Jesus Christ to be their Lord. We find no problem with being saved, being forgiven, and going to heaven when we die and escaping hell. We have no problem with that. Sounds good. Fantastic offer. But when you talk about me bending and bowing my knee and giving up my freedom and making Him the Lord of my life and letting Him dictate and give me commandments and tell me what I can and cannot do, I don't like that. And so when you mention the name Jesus Christ, it sounds all right to me. When you mention the name of Lord, then that kind of goes against my grain. I don't like the idea of bending and bowing and giving up my freedom to anybody, even to gain salvation. Now, a person's not saved by just calling Jesus Christ Lord. That's one thing I want to get across to you this morning. You just don't go around calling Him Lord, and that guarantees you salvation. You don't go around just speaking the name Lord. We this morning sang several songs in which we mentioned the word Lord. Just singing the word Lord, singing the title Lord, is not the same thing as making Him Lord. There's a big difference between the two. To sing His name does not mean I place myself under His rule and under His control. For you see, if I really understand this term correctly, then it means that I must surrender all my rights. That's what Lord means. If I am the Lord, then you must surrender all of your rights. And you must obey my every command. Do you want me to be Lord? You say, no. Well, then don't call me that then. Don't say what I'm not. And I will not be your Lord. But I won't be your Savior either. You see, we have the idea that we can make Him Savior and it's an option to make Him Lord. I don't believe, I never have believed that. If you don't want Him as Lord, you can't have Him as Savior. And so there's where I find so many people that you talk to about becoming Christians. You get this side of the story in there and they say, well, man, I'll have to think about that. I'm not real sure I want to do that. I'm not sure I want that kind of control placed over my life. Then you don't want Him as Lord. He won't be Lord. You're not going to make Him Lord. Then don't call Him that. Because He's not that for you. Now, when you know, if you went down this morning and signed up to join the military, that's a good illustration, I think, of placing yourself under somebody else's control and you're giving up your rights. You'll get up when they tell you to get up and you'll do what they tell you to do as long as they tell you to do it. And in a real sense, they become the position illustration of a person who is the Lord. They act like they are the Lord of your life as long as you're in the military service. Now, we prefer to use the name Jesus and the name Christ when we talk about Him. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I love Jesus. We don't normally introduce into our conversation the word Lord. Now, you probably tell a lot of people, Jesus Christ is my Savior. How many times do you catch yourself saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord? We shy away from that. Because it kind of stirs up our conscience and kind of bothers us. Now, for a lot of people, the name Jesus has no special meaning. It's just a name. Even the name Christ to us has no special meaning. It's just a name. Billy. What's the meaning of Billy? I don't know. Brunson. What's the meaning of Brunson? I don't know. And I don't really care. You know? What's the meaning of Jesus? I don't know. What's the meaning of Christ? Most Christians, I don't know. How about Lord? What's the meaning of Lord? I don't know. Just a big almighty being, I guess. That's a God. Yeah, that's just a good name for God. We talk about the man upstairs. We don't talk about the man in charge. Strange, isn't it? The way we talk, the way we think. We'll address him as Lord, but we'll not look at him as our equal. Or we'll look at him as our equal and not above us. But we'll call him Lord, but he's our equal. In a real sense, he's not even that. We are superior to him. If anybody will be Lord of our life, it'll be us. Not him. Well, then don't call him Lord. He can guide me, but he can't rule me. Well, then don't call him Lord. Because that's the purpose of his being Lord. He's going to rule us. The Bible says Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And when you put it that way, it means that I must bend my knee. Not once in a while, but I must bend my knee in submission to his orders every time. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus is very sensitive about this whole area and this whole issue. And that brings up the eighth question now that he asked in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. We'll just read the question. I'll not even read it in context. You can do that at a little time if you'd like to. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? We've all heard the expression, talk is cheap. All it costs is, I guess, a little breath and the movement of some mouth muscles. And Jesus here is criticizing the reckless use of the name or term or title of Lord when we address him or speak of our relationship to him. If I don't intend to walk my talk, then I disqualify myself from really saying Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I have no right to address him Lord in prayer when really and truly he says, I'm not your Lord. You won't let me be the Lord. Why do you keep saying Lord? I want to be the Lord, but you won't let me. So you have no right to use that term. That term condemns you when you use it. Because you'll get up from your knees and go right on doing what you know I have commanded you not do, or not do what I have commanded you to do. And so Christ is here asking the question, why do you call me Lord? You're not being honest, you're not being sincere, and you have no intention of letting me be the Lord of your life. You're not using the right term. Whenever you say the word Lord sincerely, you in a sense say, here I am, Lord, command me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, what do you want? Now that is implied when you and I use the word Lord. I obligate myself to be obedient anytime I use that term, Lord. Because the implication is, I'm the servant, he's the commander. Give me a command to serve. In this term, you don't go to visit the Lord. You can go visit the Father, you can go visit Jesus, go visit Christ, but when you talk about the Lord, you go get commands from the Lord. He is the headquarters of orders. He is the commander-in-chief under that term. There are a lot of doors I can enter. Counselor. Good morning, Jesus. I need some counseling. Fine. On one of those doors is Lord. Man, don't go in that door unless you want to be told what to do. Orders from headquarters comes from inside the Lord door. You say, well, I'll just skip that door. I'll go to counselor door and blessing door. I'll just skip the Lord door. Strange thing the Lord says. Well, I'll tell you what. You come through the counselor door, but why don't you go down the hall first and check in at the Lord door and then come back. Get your appointment down there at the Lord door. There seems to be a little problem going on between me and you. And it needs to be settled down there at the Lord door. Go in there and ask, what is it that you are upset with me about? Lord? Now you use the term right. We say, Lord, forgive me. The Lord says, hey, wait a minute. Tell me you want to obey my commandment. You're going to obey my commandment. You're sorry you disobeyed my commandment. You plan to do my commandment when you get up from here, and I forgive you. Tell me that. When you say, Lord, forgive me. Because what you're implying is, I did not obey, but now I will. I made a mistake. Now I won't. At least I'll try not to. I think Christ is saying here, when people say to him, Lord, he says, do you really mean it? Do you really mean I am the Lord? Are you being honest with me? And when I command you as a test, will you obey me? Is that what you mean when you call me Lord? You know, and women today would not dare up go to their husband and say, today I'm going to declare you the Lord and Master of this house. Ooh. She said, I wouldn't do that. Boy, he might tell me. He might tell me to mow the yard. You know, I'm not going to wash the dishes or clean up the house. And I don't want to do that today. So I'm not going to go tell my husband, today, honey, is Lord and Master Day for you. No way will I do that. You're scared of that term. And women today saw it taken out of the wedding service. Taking that word almost out of the wedding service. Obey. No way. Obey means let the husband be the Lord. I don't think he ought to be, but I'm just saying, we're real touchy on this. We're real touchy on this matter of who is going to be Lord? That means you put them in control. Now, as Lord, what comes out of his mouth will not be blessings. Now, as Christ and as Jesus and as Savior and all these Prince of Peace, out of his mouth can come blessings. Out of his mouth can come all kinds of comfort, words of comfort. And can come joy unspeakable. And can come, I guess, the things you want to hear. Words of guidance. But when the mouth of the Lord speaks, all that comes out of it will be commandments. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Is it any wonder that we don't prefer to honestly address Him as Lord. You speak to God as Lord, and what He's going to say to you in return will be a commandment. For that is the role and purpose of lordship, to rule His kingdom according to His will and His commandments and His laws. And so I go to Christ for certain things, I go to Jesus for certain things, I use those terms. But if I use the word term, Lord, you might as well expect Him to say to you, here is what I want you to do. Now, here are your work orders. Here are your morality orders. Here's what I want you to do.